From Spark and Anvil and ChemQuest, this is Sodi and Clora in Chapter 1 of the ChemQuest cast. This drama uses an AI-generated voice, voiced via Gemini 2.5. The salt flats behind the ChemQuest lab were the flattest, whitest place in the whole valley, and Sodi loved them because you could give things away for a very long time before anyone told you to stop. She was a small gray rabbit, and her right palm was always open, always turned up, always drifting out toward whoever was nearest. Just above that palm floated a single glowing dot, one electron, her spare, her one extra. It bobbed there like a soap bubble that would not pop. Sodi had been carrying it for as long as she could remember, and for just as long she had wanted, more than almost anything, to hand it to somebody. "You could take it," she said hopefully to a passing lab cart. "It's a very good one." The cart did not want it. Carts never did.
The trouble was that Sodi gave to everyone, and almost nobody actually needed what she had. She had offered her electron to Helio, who was full up and floated away without even slowing. She had offered it to Carbo, who already had four hands busy and no room for a fifth thing. She had pressed it once, hopefully, toward a very polite rock, which said nothing at all. Each time, the glowing dot stayed stubbornly above her palm, ungiven, and Sodi hopped home feeling a small, odd heaviness that a rabbit so light really should not have felt. Across the flats, in the cool shade under the loading dock, someone else felt the opposite kind of odd. Clora was a mantis tween, bright yellow-green, sharp-eyed, and she sat very still with her right hand cupped upward like a small bowl. She was waiting. She had been waiting a careful, patient while. Her hand was cupped because there was exactly one thing missing from her. One electron. The last one. The one that would make her whole outer ring complete. And she had learned not to grab. Grabbing scared things off. So she waited and watched and stayed precise. "Not that one," she murmured, as a stray spark drifted past. "Too big. Not that one either." She was not sad, exactly. She was just slightly, constantly unfinished, like a sentence with the last word held back.
They met the way two people meet when one is always reaching out and the other is always holding still. Eventually, and then all at once. Sodi came bouncing along the shade of the dock, palm out, electron bobbing, calling her usual hopeful call. "Anyone? Anyone need a spare?" And she nearly hopped straight past the still green figure in the corner. But Clora's sharp eyes had already locked on to the little glowing dot above Sodi's palm, and Clora's cupped hand had already lifted, just slightly, the way a plant leans at a window. "You," said Clora, very quietly, so as not to scare it off. "You're carrying one, a spare." "I am," said Sodi, so delighted that her ears stood straight up. Is it possible you actually need? "One," said Clora. "I need exactly one." She held her cupped hand out, steady as glass. "I have been waiting for exactly one." For a moment, neither of them moved, because both of them had spent so long being the one who reaches and never lands, or the one who waits and never receives, that the idea of a perfect fit felt almost too neat to trust.
Then Sodi turned her open palm toward Clora's cupped one and let go. The glowing dot lifted off her hand. It had never done that before, not once, not for the cart or Helio or the polite rock. And it drifted the short, bright distance between them and settled into the bowl of Clora's waiting hand. Clora's fingers closed around it, gentle and exact. Her whole outer ring, which had glowed uneven and gap-toothed for so long, went smooth and full and quiet. And then the strangest, best thing happened. The moment the electron crossed over, Sodi, now one electron lighter, hummed with a small, warm plus, a positive charge, like the top note of a bell, and Clora, now one electron fuller, settled into a low, steady minus, a negative charge, like the bell's deep bottom note. Plus and minus, and a plus and a minus, it turns out, cannot help but lean toward each other. An invisible pole drew them close, closer, until the small gray rabbit and the bright green mantis stood locked side by side, snug as two magnets, unable and unwilling to drift apart. "Oh," said Clora, looking at their joined shoulders in something like wonder. "That's what the pole is." A young student named Streamer had wandered over to watch, and Streamer said, "Wait, so you're stuck together now? Forever?" "Not stuck," said Sodi, wiggling happily against Clora's side and not going anywhere. "Fitted. She took the exact thing I had too much of. I gave the exact thing she was short. Now she's a little bit minus, and I'm a little bit plus, and that's the whole reason we hold on." She beamed. "There's a name for the two of us together, you know. Sodium and chlorine. Holding hands. You've eaten us. We're salt." More of them arrived then. Plus and minus. Plus and minus. Giver and taker. And each pair pulled a neighboring pair close. And those pulled the next. Until a whole tidy cube had built itself out on the white flats. A crystal. Row on row. Every giver beside a taker. A lattice you could have sprinkled on soup.
Later, when the cube was finished, and the students had gone in, Sodi and Clora stayed out on the salt flats, still shoulder to shoulder, watching the light go pink. "I feel lighter," Sodi said, surprised. She flexed her open palm, empty now, and it didn't ache the way she'd half expected. "I carried that thing so long, I thought giving it away would feel like losing something." She thought about it. It felt like putting something down. "I feel finished," said Clora. Her cupped hand had relaxed at last. She didn't need to hold it out anymore. "Not full, like I ate too much. Just done waiting. Settled." She glanced sideways at the small gray rabbit fitted against her side. "It's a strange thing, to spend so long carrying exactly what someone else was missing, and never know they were right there." Sodi leaned her head on Clora's green shoulder. The evening was quiet. Neither of them pulled away, because now they couldn't, and more to the point, because neither of them wanted to. "Warm," Sodi murmured. "Fitting next to someone is warm." And that, out on the white flats, with the light going soft, was the truest thing either of them had felt all day.
You've been listening to a Spark and Anvil chapter, written by the Spark and Anvil writing team for ages 9 to 14. Spark and Anvil is a 501c3 public charity. Apps stay free forever. Curriculum aligned to Sodi and Clora. Released under Creative Commons BYNCSA 4.0 for educational reuse. Visit Spark and Anvil for the full transcript.